Hello and welcome. I'm Greg Martinelli, and this is the Ag Sales Professional Podcast. And the purpose of this podcast is to make you the best salesperson or sales manager possible in agribusiness. Hey, today we're going to talk about how producers are making decisions for the 2022 or the 2023 crop year. Now, these are insights from the JL Farmacus Incorporated's 2022 Farmer Speaks Survey. They've been doing this for several years, and I am always looking for ways to understand customer decision-making processes. This information is critical when you're selling to them, is how do they make their decisions? You must know those factors that are influencing those decisions. Knowing them allows a salesperson to sell on purpose versus just kind of going out there spreading the good word about their products. Well, to hammer this point home, I spend time on this in the sales training workshops. I'll ask the training group, you know, how do your best customers make decisions? What factors do they consider? Now, while some groups know the answers fairly well, too often they struggle to answer these basic questions. They look like they got caught the deer in the headlights, or their answers might be something like the classic, you know, whoever has the cheapest price. Well, recently I was on a webinar. I had the opportunity to listen in as JL Farmacus Incorporated shared several insights from their 2022 Farmer Speaks survey. During the webinar, they shared key results from the survey, but they also had three large producers from the upper Midwest participate as well. So they gave the results of what the producers on the survey said, and then they interpreted those by talking and having a discussion with those three large producers from the South Dakota, Iowa, and North Dakota regions of the United States. For more details on the full report, I encourage you to reach out to the representative in your area or jump on their website and connect with them. But here are 10 key takeaways from that Farmer Speaks survey. Number one, and this one came out really clear, and that is the word trust was used several times. Producers need to have a level of trust with their ag retailer for everything to work. Well, how do you build trust? I mean, besides hanging in there for several years or many years, there are ways to speed up trust. And I've got a reference to an article I wrote on it called Trust, the Ultimate Sales Tool, which you can see in the show notes. Well, the second takeaway from the Farmer Speaks survey was number two, buying habits and buying early. The supply shortages have driven producers to buy earlier and earlier every year. This now has them paying earlier and taking possession earlier. All this means what? Well, your selling timeline is earlier. You have a shorter window to get things sold. It's no longer selling all the crop inputs products in the winter or in the late winter, right before planting begins. The third takeaway was taking delivery earlier. Previously, a producer could order in the fall or even in the late winter and wouldn't take delivery until they really just needed it right in the springtime. Well, to reduce the uncertainty of maybe not even having the products on hand when they need them, producers took delivery as soon as they could get it from their retailer. In some cases, this included storing liquid over the winter months. So if any of your products affect that kind of a system, obviously you want to be paying attention to what your producers are doing and how they're taking delivery of those products. Number four, there's other key buying habits. When it came to the question of how do you manage through shortages, the producers answered a couple different ways. Well, first one was 40% bought an alternative product. They just bought something that they felt was equally as good or just was available. Secondly, 40% went without the products themselves. They just didn't use the products. And then 32% bought it from somewhere else. That's a pretty high percentage of producers that are just kind of switching around from product to product and vendor to vendor, supplier to supplier. So one of those key points to keep in mind that this is how their new normal buying practices are. Number five, this was a really interesting discussion, and that was about the two-year loan situation. The buying habits mentioned previously have the producers ordering and paying for 2 years worth of crop inputs before they harvest. And it's a little different. They could get the operating loan in the spring, buy their crop inputs, put the crop in the ground, get it harvested, use that money to pay for the next year's crop. In this example, 22 inputs were ordered and paid for in the fall of 21. Those inputs will be paid for from the crop of 2022. However, in order to assure they have supplies on hand, the producer now must order and pay for their 23 crop in the next 90 days. That forces them to pay for two crops before the first one is harvested. Again, if your products or services are flexible in those areas, those are big indicators for you to talk about with your producers. Number six, earlier service work on equipment. Well, clearly, the equipment industry has been affected by shortages. Not just whole goods, but parts and services are in short supply as well. These producers mentioned they are doing service work much earlier on equipment, which probably should have been done years ago anyway. You know, previously they worked on equipment right before they needed it for the field work. However, by servicing and preparing earlier, it allows much more time for parts and service to be available. Number seven was YouTube. I thought this was interesting. I hear this statistic frequently that 40% of farmers are on YouTube. Well, one producer mentioned that, you know, that he is on there all the time. Well, I thought, well, this is interesting because we don't really think of farmers as being on YouTube. However, they're on there for how-to video clips and probably not for searching random content. I just think this is an important point for you. Just like myself, they go there to learn how to do something, not necessarily to surf the web. Again, doesn't mean it's not a good platform to advertise on. I'm just telling you, this producer and this group was saying, look, we're on there, but we're on there to learn how to do something in the field work or on our equipment or whatever the case is. Well, number eight, new product decisions. This was a very interesting component of the webinar, and it went on several different questions and several different topics, but none of them felt that the program incentives, which are highly touted by the sales teams when they're out there, none of the incentives on a new product were important until they were sold. In fact, program incentives felt gimmicky with new products. One producer mentioned, show me the data, show me multiple years of data, and show me the local data with an ROI to tie it back to my farm. That was a very good discussion. I think anybody out there launching new products or trying to break into a different market needs to listen to how those producers answered those questions. Number nine, biologicals. Several are doing trials and considering biologicals as input prices increase. When the NPK prices were low, those products didn't make as much financial sense to them. However, with today's prices, obviously biologicals are getting a lot more attention. My take on this is that they wanted to do their own crop year field trials. And that's a fairly long range, kind of slow approach. If the trials were needed for this producer to actually become convinced or to make that buying decision, I think he should have been doing this long before recent price increases. I mean, he's going to miss out on, you know, at least 1 to maybe 2 years of potential savings due to needing his own proof on his farm. Well, the last point I wanted to bring out is towards the end of the webinar, the producers were asked, what are the top three challenges that you see in your business? Not surprisingly, the three were input prices, interest rates, and commodity prices. So the price I have to pay for my inventory or my supplies, the interest rate I'm going to get charged on that loan, and then, of course, how much I can sell my products for. The methods to help reduce some of these concerns were, these were just a couple ideas that got thrown out. One was more no-till to save on fuel, more precision to save on input usage, and then obviously considering biologicals as a way to reduce the amount of NPK needed. So these were just some of the buying habits and decision-making information that jumped out at me as I watched the webinar and read the full survey results. Again, I encourage you to reach out for a copy of the full report if you serve crop producers. You know, and while the survey may not be compiled from thousands of producers, and no survey is representative of every producer, it does give an ag salesperson a great place to start a discussion with their customer as to how are you going to react to all this that's going on in our market right now, all the high prices on inputs and tentative prices on the commodities. How are you going to do that? This is what a survey of customers said they're going to do. You know, do you agree with it? Do you think that would work for you? How are you going to do this? Would this work for you? Those kind of questions. I think that's a great way for you to open up some discussions, especially for your producers who might not be feeling very positive at this point. I hope today's podcast helped you on your journey to be the best ag sales professional possible. Now, you can always access more blog articles, podcasts, and training opportunities, both virtual and in person, on my website at www.gregmartinelli.net. Thank you and have a great day.